We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.
Second Amendment Radio in the Great Outdoors is sponsored by Intervine. Get the best camping lanterns, flashlights, and more at intervine.com.
Edition of Second Amendment Radio and the Great Outdoors. Thank you so much for joining us today. My name is Tony Colombo in studio with our producer Chad Ellis. And joining us once again from his home as we continue to practice proper social distancing here at Second Amendment Radio is my partner, Bo Matthews. Bo, what's happening?
What's up, boys? How are you?
I am well. We've got a great show on tap for you today. In the next segment, we are going to be talking to our friend Austin Peterson. Been a little while since Austin's been on the show. You may remember Austin. He was, in 2016, he was the runner-up to the Libertarian presidential candidacy. He was just behind Gary Johnson, was almost that party's presidential nominee. And then in 2018, he ran for United States Senate here in the state of Missouri against Josh Hawley and lost that primary to him. He is now a morning show host. He's joined us, Bo, and is now a radio guy and hosts a radio show in Missouri's capital, Jefferson City. Every morning. So, Austin is a, his, when he was running for office, his number one platform was Second Amendment rights. He is a very, outspoken defender of Second Amendment rights and hunting and fishing and the outdoor lifestyle and all those things. So it's always good to talk to Austin. We'll do that. And a little bit later on in the show, we'll also talk to our friends from Osage County Guns. But right now, joining us, as he does every week at this time, is the owner of Southern Armory, Aaron Tarlow. Aaron, what's happening, my friend?
Hey, how are you guys? Everybody staying out of trouble?
Trying to. How are you?
Oh, living the dream.
I want to start with right into this with a question for you, Aaron, because you are our resident expert in gun laws and CCW regulations and all that sort of stuff. And we had received an email. Actually, Bo received the email after last week's show. Bo, why don't you? I know you probably don't have the email right in front of you, but could you just kind of summarize what that email was saying? And
Bo is very popular. He got a couple of phone calls to our store.
Oh, wow. Well, there you go.
Gosh. What did they say?
Definitely want to hear that story.
Yeah, we'll share that here in a little bit. What's your email there, Bo?
Yeah.
So it came in. It was a voicemail. I'm reading the transcription of it in the email system we have. And it says, "Hi, my name is Perry Smythe, or Smith, maybe, S-M-Y-T-H. I was listening to both Matthews." Oh, this is a talk to text does not work. I was listening to Bo Matthews yesterday. He was talking on Second Amendment Radio that if you had firearms and if you were able to leave them in the car to lock them up, that is partially correct. However, if you have a firearm, you are supposed to make sure that it is very secured. And he left his phone number. And I thought, well, didn't I say that?
Yeah.
I thought last week, I verified because so many people, I mean, in the county I live in, the sheriff says 30% of people leave their vehicles unlocked. And that's how, you know, people will, the bad guys will come in and they'll just check door handles. They won't be breaking windows or making noise.
Right.
And so my point was, is making sure you have it locked up and secure.
So as we've learned, and at least I'm sure Bo has too, but what I've certainly learned in 22 years on the radio is that if you're not 100% clear with every possible, it happened to me multiple times this week, and stories that I don't even want to get into, that, you know, if you don't make sure you can't just say something, even if it's a smart piece of advice like Bo gave last week. Hey, if you keep your car, if you keep your gun in your car, make sure you lock your doors. There's always going to be this, well, you know, you actually should be doing more than that. And you also, a good piece of advice, turns into a scrutinized, statement said on the air. So, obviously, that's great advice and something everyone should do is lock their doors if they're going to be keeping their gun in their car. But, Aaron, are there any other regulations? Are there any other things that you either should or have to do if you are going to keep your gun in your car for any extended period of time when you're not in there with it?
So Missouri doesn't have a law on the books. Illinois, our neighbor to the east, does. Says basically, if you're going to leave your firearm in a vehicle, it has to be secured, and I think that's reasonable. I think every gun owner should do that. You know, if you're going to go to a ball game in downtown St. Louis, you know, you obviously can't take your firearm in that stadium because it has seating for more than 5,000 people, and they have you know, screening devices there, you know, the metal wands, and they look through your bags, etc. You know, you're going to leave it in your vehicle. And so I always give people a few pieces of advice, like, hey, don't put gun stickers on your car, because if you're a criminal and you know what Magpul is, or you know what, you know, Veltor is, or you know Aimpoint, well, you know, those are
what are those things? Hold on, what are those things?
Right. So for the novice, like the new person, they may not know those. Those are brands that accessories you can buy. But everybody knows Glock. Everybody knows Colt. So you start leaving a Glock sticker on your car or a Colt sticker on your car. Now all of a sudden, the probability of you getting your car broken into, and at least in my opinion, exponentially goes up, because you're advertising there could be a Glock or a Ruger or a Smith & Wesson, right? Those are household names, call them flagship brands. But there's other, you know, manufacturers out there that are not really known for, you know, known in the firearms world outside of maybe the real, real hardcore enthusiast that says, I need to have, you know, one of everything, right? So like H&R, most people wouldn't recognize an H&R sticker as a firearm brand. So, you know, keeping those off your vehicles, I think that's just solid advice. I don't think there's anything wrong with that. And people go, what do I do with the sticker? I got a cabinet in my house that I leave, you know, I have a cabinet in my house that I put, you know, extra magazines in, and extra, you know, boxes of ammo and stuff like that. And that's where I put those stickers. I've got buddies that take and put stickers on their gun safe. And I think that's an awesome idea, because, you know, the only reason you're going to get in there is, you know, to show your other gun buddies what you got. So, but as far as, you know, the advice for, you know, locking it up in your vehicle, absolutely. You're talking to a guy that drives a Wrangler. I've got the hard top for security purposes, but it has like the locking glove box and locking center console, but that's just plastic, you know? So, you know, personally, and this was actually a discussion on one of the local shooting groups on Facebook, and somebody got their gun stolen out of their car, and they were in downtown St. Louis at some sort of event. And everybody was like, why don't you have a vehicle safe? Why don't you have a vehicle safe? And the guy's like, I don't know what you're talking about. So, of course, you know, I'm at home when I see this, and I go get my vehicle safe out of my, what we've deemed, the tactical cabinet. And I'm like, hey, this is what it looks like, right? It's a clamshell. It's got a key. And I prefer the key over the tumble lock. But, you know, it's got a key, and then it slides inside of, like, this pre-made I just totally went blank. Anyway, it goes inside of, like, a cradle. And it locks into that cradle, so it can't be removed from your vehicle. And I think they're great tools. They're good for vehicles, and they're also TSA approved. So if you're going to do an airline travel, you can have that.
I, I just want to interject here that I think his name is Barry that left me the voicemail, and I intended to call him back on the show, but then Tony, you said, well, let's just talk about it and we'll get some answers. Mm-hmm. I just want to clarify that whatever he thinks that I was missing, and I will call him after the show is over with, whatever he thinks I was missing out on, my whole thing, just like I talk about cleaning guns to get more familiar with your firearms. You got to lock it up, whether it's in the trunk or whether it's in one of these safes. And really, gun safes for your home are fairly inexpensive because the gun companies really want you to be safe with it, right? I would hope that the automobile safes would, they're probably more expensive because it's a specialized piece, but
they're actually like $40, Bo.
For an automobile?
Yeah, we sell them at guns where you come at Southern Armory and get them. We order them in by the case, and we sell them out very quickly. And like I said, they're about $40 for the larger one. They're super cheap. Now, every firearms manufacturer should give you, it's a federal law, it should come with a lock. And when you buy a used gun at Southern Armory, we give you a firearm lock as well. So if you don't have that, you know, the home safe, right, you can at least put a lock on it and put it up high or put it in a drawer or whatever you want to do with it, but at least it has a lock with it.
Hey, do you guys remember the guy that had a vehicle, like a big van, and he was going to park it next to downtown Busch Stadium or Enterprise Center?
Yeah.
And you could go in and check. And I talked to that guy a few years back. That never did come through, did it? He never did finish that.
No, there was a lot of, in my opinion, there was a lot of issues with that plan. But
just steal the truck, right?
it actually was a great idea, and I talked to this guy too prior to him investing in all this equipment, and I told him, you know, hey, we were going to do this as well, and it never materialized because ATF would not give us the licensure. And if you're going to deal with firearms, even if it's just storing firearms, you have to be licensed by the ATF because you're engaging in the commerce of firearms. And ATF issues a license for the premise, the physical address. And they extend that license out for gun shows because it's a sanctioned gun show. And that's why when you go to gun shows, every transaction, even if it's person to person, has to be done through a dealer because you're on the licensed premise. But we'll get to another debate for another topic another time.
Yeah, it was like a food truck for guns is the way I pictured it.
The thing that I didn't like, the idea of this guy's got everybody's guns now, and now he's also going to be the one who determines if you've had too much to drink inside the baseball game.
Like, good point.
And the whole thing was like, well, if a guy comes out drunk from watching the game, you can't give him his gun back. Well, then that means somebody's going to make that decision who gets their guns back and who doesn't, and don't tell me that that's not going to cause a huge problem. So whether everybody's heart could be in the right place, but that just, I saw lots of problems with that.
Or somebody could grab a wrecker and just tow it away, you know, just grab the whole vehicle full of guns. Now, with all these big, you know, and I know we're trying to get back to baseball and we're going to, but there's not going to be any fans, so we don't need it. But maybe by next year, how about a locker, like a coat check at a restaurant or a bar where you can gun check?
How about just go to Southern Armory, get yourself a vehicle safe, and lock your own gun in your own car?
You'd be
good.
The other problem, Tony, you mentioned, and you hit the nail right on the head, they go into the sporting event, they've had too much of a drink, you can't give the firearm back because now you're committing a misdemeanor. So now you have a gentleman that has no storefront with a trailer, with a truck attached to move all these guns out. How do you get your gun back?
Yeah.
And so my solution was Southern Armory's open 7 days a week. You could come out
there and
retrieve your arm after that. But again, ATF would not go for this. They liked the idea. They were like, we can't license.
Well, because you have somebody making an arbitrary decision on who's had too much and who hasn't had too much to drink, and that's the button. So, hey, Aaron, I don't want to run out of time. Yeah. I don't want to run out of time. But what did the people call about Bo?
They called about Bo. Over the exact topic we just talked about, and there was like several phone calls, and I'm like, what did he say?
What did I say?
I don't know.
He gave a good piece of advice. Lock your doors if you have a gun in your car.
And so I think we had one gentleman that was a little upset because, well, when I'm in my vehicle, I should be able to have it wherever I want. And so my wife
granted, nobody said you couldn't.
And this guy's like demanding your head, right? And he's like, he doesn't work for us. And he goes, well, I want his home phone number. My wife's like, I don't even know who he is. Like, I've never met him face to face. So,
there must be something in the water this week, Bo, because I got it this week on social media about innocuous comment that I made that I thought was just nobody, you know, was just a common sense kind of thing to say. I didn't even really think about too much about what I said, and it touched off an entire Twitter storm. It's ridiculous sometimes how that happens.
But I guess I need to go back and listen to last week's show because something must have come out differently.
I think all you said was lock your doors, and I think that's all you said. But hey, Aaron, before we run out of time, tell everybody what's happening at Southern Armory and how to find you.
So good news is we have devised a plan to come up and get more inventory. So that is in the works, and we should have a ton more inventory flowing in this week, next week, et cetera. It just took a little bit of time to get everything kind of set in motion and set up, but that's the good news. Can't really tell you how we did it or et cetera, but it's going to happen. So if you need us something, firearm ammunition, come in, chat with us, and we've got a list of still what's shipping in. But the good news is we're able to secure a lot more inventory now. So you can find us on SouthernArmory.com.
SouthernArmory.com.
That's SouthernArmory.com. Mm-hmm.
And I'd love to see you in store. We're located 1 mile east of 270-44 at 9901 Watson Road. And don't forget about our Facebook pages, Southern Armory and Second Amendment News Podcast.
Great stuff. Aaron Tarlow, the owner of Southern Armory, thank you for your time. We'll talk to you back here same time next week.
All right, talk to you same time next week. Bye.
All right, let's take a quick break. And when we get back, we will talk to our buddy Austin Peterson, former politician, now morning show host in Missouri's capital, Jefferson City. He's going to join us on Second Amendment Radio and the Great Outdoors next. Don't go anywhere. You can't find a friend, but the field of trees is
breaking. I remember when rock was young, me and Sylvie had so much fun.
Welcome back to Second Amendment Radio and the Great Outdoors. Tony Colombo in studio with producer Chad Ellis, who never ceases to amaze with the musical selection. Nothing wrong with that song. It just caught me off guard.
A little Elton John for you.
I love it. I love it. It just caught me off guard. I wasn't ready for that one.
I think Netflix has a special on Elton John, and I really want to see it. I watched Queen and Adam Lambert special. That was really cool.
Very cool.
Anyway. I got all this time on my hands. What am I going to do?
Right. Binge watch.
We're going to talk to our buddy Austin Peterson here in just a second. First, I wanted to remind you about the great special happening at Intervine. Intervine.com, one of the great sponsors of the show right now, have two amazing offers for you. You can get a free lantern from Intervine just by sending a email to VIP@Intervine.com. That's all you have to do. Send an email to VIP@Intervine.com. Or if you want to take advantage of 50% off everything at Intervine, they, of course, are the local family-owned company that makes the brightest, longest-lasting camping LED flashlights, lanterns, headlamps. They also have batteries in all different sizes. You can get 50% off everything at Intervine by going to intervine.com using my name, Tony, as your discount code. So take advantage of that deal while you can, especially if you're going to be out and about in the great outdoors anytime soon. And, of course, anytime we're talking about the great outdoors here on Second Amendment Radio, it's brought to you by
Razorback Armory. You can go to RazorbackArmory.com and learn about this great company who really specializes in firearm. They are a gun concierge. They are full service. They can customize. They can help you restore. Just get a hold of Razorback Armory. They are a half mile east of 270 on Manchester Road in De Pere. Find them on RazorbackArmory.com and tell them Bo sent you.
And if there's any man that could have went into a career where he called himself a gun concierge, it's our guest now. Austin Peterson joins us on Second Amendment Radio. Austin, how's it going, my friend? Great to talk with you again.
At your service. What caliber are you needing, ladies and gentlemen?
All of them.
So many of you will remember Austin from the 2016 presidential election. He was the runner-up to the Libertarian candidate Gary Johnson. Also in 2018, ran, of course, for Senate here in Missouri. That was the election that was won by Josh Hawley. And for those who haven't been able to keep up with Austin since then, he has joined the ranks of the radio host. Austin, before we dive in, tell folks how they can listen to you every weekday morning.
Well, thank you so much for the generous introduction there. I got two failures and a win, baby. My morning show. My morning show.
You have way more fame than anyone else in this conversation, so yeah. I think you're doing all right.
I'm all about those likes on Instagram. Hit me up. I'm AP for Liberty on pretty much every social media platform, but the morning show is 6 to 9 a.m. Central, Monday through Friday on News Radio KWOS. So you get us on the terrestrial line there at 9:50 a.m., 104.5 FM in the mid-Missouri market. But if you want to listen to us out of area, just skip the socials, AP for Liberty, and I broadcast it every day. But really excited to talk to you guys. You know, my dad always said, I'm getting ready to go see my dad right now down in the beautiful Bennett Springs. My dad always said that the worst day fishing was always better than the best day working.
You got that right.
I'm going fishing, and you guys are working.
Well, I am extremely jealous of you now, and you and your dad's that statement by your dad is exactly right. So there's too many. We don't have enough time to get into every single issue and detail happening in the news right now. But I wanted to get your thoughts. Since coronavirus 2020, starting with coronavirus and now moving into this period of social unrest, has been an absolute boom for the gun industry. We talk about it every week with our guests like Aaron, who we talked to in the last segment from Southern Armory, our buddies at Razorback Armory, our friends at Osage County Guns, who are going to be joining us in the next segment. Business for these guys has been booming throughout 2020. What are your overall thoughts on, is this a positive thing that that everybody is out there buying guns, or are they buying it for the wrong reasons? Like, what are your thoughts of just how 2020 has had an effect on the firearms industry?
Honestly, that's a good question. And you know, under any other circumstances, I might say, hey, yeah, you know, it's a good thing people are wanting to defend themselves, but under the circumstances, I might actually say for the first time ever, this probably isn't a good thing, just because I believe the reason why people are doing this is because of the fears of societal collapse. And yes, I do think that the coronavirus outbreak has been the catalyst for that. But then, of course, I think that the protests from George Floyd, the flashpoint being the murder of George Floyd, you know, really just added fuel to the fire, if anything, you know, gasoline all over it. But, you know, like using firearms, I have people that I'm friends with from pretty much every side of the spectrum, you know, full-blown communists, you know, I don't think I have any Nazi friends. I hope not. But I do have friends who are, you know, mild liberals, and they're on the fence about guns. And then I have the liberal friends who are very anti-gun. And I will say that about an equal number of those people have contacted me just anecdotally to ask for tips and advice about how to purchase a firearm. And many of these are anti-gun liberals who were for banning it, and they were complaining about some of the gun laws that they had voted for in states like Washington and Colorado, New Jersey, and other places. And now they found themselves in cities where they are hoping that police will respond to an emergency call if they need one, but ultimately understanding that at the end of the day, they now realize more than ever that it is up to them to protect themselves and their families. So overall, not a good situation to be in. I would never force someone to be in a situation where they're sitting there with their gun at the door, hoping that, you know, some protest, you know, looters and rioters aren't going to, you know, burn down their home. But that is the reality of 2020. It's pretty much the worst year ever that I've lived in. And, you know, because I didn't live through World War II, but this has got to be as bad as World War II, at least in terms of consequences to not only people's, you know, paychecks, not only people's jobs and their livelihoods, but just mental health. You know, people are doing this out of fear and panic. that's not a good thing, and I don't celebrate that or relish in it.
Mm-hmm. All right, our guest is Austin Peterson. Austin, this is my first time really chatting with you, and thanks for being a part of the show. But I have to believe that, you know, the pang that went through my heart when I heard defund the police, it was a scare tactic, because I don't think people understood. And I think there's a lot of people that still don't understand what that means. I don't know if it's necessarily defunding. I think we need to invest in the police for more training, more specialized treatment as far as, you know, family disputes or domestic violence or, you know, drug addiction. I mean, cops are trying to take care of everything. And, you know, you got to do your, you know, training to become a cop, and you swear on, you know, with the oath. And then you're off in a police car going to work. But I think that we need more funding for our police department as opposed to defunding. But the term defund police, it like put a jolt through me. And I think that might be what put people on the path to, you know, maybe even Democrat friends that I have. They took up arms and they went and purchased something for the very first time, just because whether you live rurally, where it takes sometimes the police officers or law enforcement to get to you a little longer or a lot longer, or the idea that if you call 911 when stuff is going down and they're not coming, it's on you.
Yeah.
Bo, you seem like a nice guy, but no. No.
You don't think it's a scare tactic?
I would say that, going back to your first point when you're talking about defunding the police and the Democratic scare tactic, I agree with you, but that I think that's unsubstantial. I think the substantial argument here is a question of, there's only one group of people in this whole friggin' country that actually, when you say defund the police, go, yeah, baby. And it's not all cops are bastard leftists. It's obviously not right-wing conservatives, and it's obviously not centrists. It's libertarians, baby. Because if you think you're going to sit there and pay for more social workers, and they're going to be the ones who are going to solve the problems, you have to look at it, the history of the mental health problems in the 1960s and 70s, and the way that we treated mental illness versus how we police mentally ill people. Then we instigated a war on drugs, where we started turning these cops into warriors and gladiators, and they're all roided up, and they're taking out their aggression on the people. There's this old quote from Battlestar Galactica where Captain Adama says famously that there's a reason why the military is separate from the police. And the reason is because when the military and the police become one the same role, the enemy of the state tends to become the people. So because we have so many statutes and codes and laws, we have hyper-criminalized the people of the United States. We are an incarceration nation. So when you say defund the police to me, I'm going to cry really hard when they can't get their next mine-resistant vehicle for all the mines that are laid around, you know, out here in Jefferson City or the different counties around here in Missouri, where we, you know, send out these warrior cops and we give them qualified immunity and turn them into princes of our city so that they can put their knees on the necks of the ethnic minorities. And then you have situations where you have disparities in sentencing. So if there is systemic racism going on, it's not the white people that are getting prosecuted. It's going to be the minorities always, because they don't have the same kind of voting pressure that us white folks can do. So, you know, I think that Black Lives Matter saying defund the police is a joke, because they're all a bunch of authoritarian Marxists. They love cops. They want to force you to wear masks. They want to force you to buy health insurance. And on the right, you've got conservatives who have adopted a new brand of nationalist conservatism that says, oh, well, we do like socialism, but just for white people, right? We want to create special privileges for certain groups. And at the end of the day, we're going to get more spending, just like you say. Yeah, because people do get scared when they hear defund anything. You want to defund the police? Oh, my God. Oh, my God. They're not going to have grenade launchers. Oh, what will we do? But defund
hey,
the
Austin.
Teachers, the public
Austin.
School teachers, you know.
Austin.
Doesn't scare me.
I want to ask another question, and we're running out of time.
No, we don't have time for this.
Because you...
Sorry.
You know, you're fine. Austin Peterson never fails to stir the pot. That is for sure. So my libertarian rank is not as high as yours, but I disagree, and I think a lot of us, a lot of our listeners would disagree in your characterization of the police force out there. And I know, I hope at least that you're exaggerating to make your point. But we've seen already in the CHOP zone in Seattle that this whole like idea of an anti-police autonomous zone, they've already hired a private security firm to protect property and residents and businesses there. So they've essentially already, after 3 weeks, installed another police force. I find it, as much as a liberty fighter and freedom fighter as I am, I find it hard to believe that we would have a society with no police.
No, we wouldn't. But I mean, of course, nobody wants to pay attention to the examples where libertarianism is in action. So, for example, the most liberal city in the United States, San Francisco, guess what? They've got an area where there is no crime. And in that area where there is no crime, they have a privatized police force. But nobody wants to do that because we're all scared. It's like when you talk about privatizing prisons. But when you say, you know, most people would disagree with me on the role of the police there, you're probably right. But I mean, I don't want to date myself or anything, but two police officers in Wilmington, North Carolina, were just fired because one officer says that society needs a civil war to wipe black people off the map. So who are we empowering? Who are we handing the keys to the kingdom over? If you had a smaller government, you wouldn't need as many police, because if you had fewer laws, you'd have fewer cops. Why do we need somebody looking over our shoulder all the time, like freaking Harry Potter, tapping the magic wand on us, telling us what to do? You know, every single thing that conservatives despise about big government, it's the cops who shut your churches down, folks. You know, you forgot that. It was about 6 weeks ago. Conservatives kind of woke up there for about 30 seconds before they forgot how much they love authority and they love to go to the shoe store so that they can go out and pick up all the boot polish flavors and just decide which one they like the best. But the problem is that defunding the police does scare most people, because most people, they love safety a hell of a lot more than they love freedom.
There you go. That is Austin Peterson. If you want to continue arguing with him, you can do so by listening to his...
What's his number? I need to get his number.
You can continue arguing with him by calling into his radio show every morning or following him on social media. Austin, before we let you go, one more time, all those ways that people can find you. And boy, I'm sure they're going to be finding you.
Bo, Tony, Chad, thanks so much for your time today. Let me go off. So AP for Liberty on all the socials, AP the number 4. The KWOS morning show is 6 to 9 a.m. Central, Monday through Friday, except for tomorrow, because I'm going fishing, boys. I'll catch you later.
All right, Austin. Always great to talk to Austin Peterson, and always creates quite the conversation. So we will take a quick break, and when we get back, we'll talk to our friends at Osage County Guns, and I'm sure Bo and I will react a little bit to what Austin just said. We'll do that.
Yeah, You didn't give me time to do it during the debate. So after the commercial break,
we'll have time to do it. I promise. When we get back, we got to take this break, and we'll be back with more Second Amendment Radio in the Great Outdoors. Don't go anywhere. Fallout from that conversation with Austin Peterson. Thank you for listening to Second Amendment Radio and the Great Outdoors. Tony Colombo here in studio with producer Chad Ellis and my partner Bo Matthews, who has never been chomping at the bit more to respond to or react to a conversation that we just had on the radio station. Boy, if you missed that,
back it up.
Yeah,
rewind it.
Rewind live radio. Don't forget about our podcast. We have two podcasts that we put out every week of this show. The show podcast, which we release on Friday, so you can actually get the show before it even airs. And then the podcast exclusive, which is a discussion that you can only get by downloading that podcast, which comes out on Mondays. So the podcast exclusive comes out on Mondays. Our buddy Jake Fair from Osage County Guns is going to be joining us here in just a moment. He's going to be a part of the podcast exclusive this week, as well as the rest of the show here today. And you can get our podcast just about anywhere you get podcasts, but the best place to do so, in my opinion, is the radio.com app, because you can rewind live radio. The radio rewind feature on the radio.com app is fantastic. You can also stream the station 24/7, so you can listen to the station no matter where you are at. And you can download the podcast of this and every other show right there on the app as well. That is the radio.com app, and all of that is absolutely free. The only thing that I think we can all agree with in that discussion with Austin was that he was going fishing and how excited he was to be going fishing. And I need to remind you that anytime we talk about fishing here on Second Amendment Radio, it is brought to you by Bluff City Outdoors over there in Alton, Illinois, right on the banks of the Mississippi River. They have got you covered. They specialize in big catfish gear, but they also carry a huge selection of crappie and bass lures and everything else that you need for your next fishing trip. You can check them out at 2813 East Broadway in Alton, very near Fast Eddie's over there, or check them out on the web at bluffcityoutdoors.com. So, a quick recap, because we, like I mentioned, Jake from Osage Kind of Guns joining us now. Jake, great to talk with you, my friend.
Great to be here.
Yeah, thank you. Sorry that you're following the tsunami that just hit the show in the form of Austin Peterson, who was, Bo, you brought up defund the police. I'm just quickly recapping for people
the
who are just
of,
tuning in.
I didn't say to defund him. I just brought up the subject
we were talking about that issue that is in the news right now, the defund the police. And Austin, who is the purest libertarian that I know, is a big supporter of the Second Amendment. He is a big gun rights guy. I mean, he was the one that made national news for giving away a gun on his Facebook page when he was running for Senate. He is also no government, no authority libertarian. So I think he caught a lot of people off guard when he said that I don't know that he ever said he supports defund the police, but he said that the way that we police in America right now is not the right way to do so, right? I mean, how would you characterize what Austin's point was just now?
It's when I brought up the fact that we need to invest in our police departments for more specialized training, I believe that, you know, for the most part, they've got to do a certain amount of schooling. They do driving. They do, marksmanship. And then they're off to the department to go to work and, you know, be a rookie for a while.
His point was that the resources and the funding and the money that we spend on policing, just like we spend in every aspect of government in the United States, he would rather see go to other places. And then also brought the example of privatized police departments and how that is the better way to go. But he said a lot of stuff about cops, and so I wanted to give you a chance to respond.
Yeah, and Jake, I just wanted to, you know, kind of clue you in, because you didn't hear the part of the conversation yet. But I literally was talking about the term defund the police kind of put a little scare in me, because if that were to happen, it would be, and everybody's seen the movie The Purge, it would be The Purge. I mean, look what's going on in the Chop Zone in Seattle with their, you know, with no police presence.
Yeah.
That kind of, as a business owner, a personal civilian, I think I would be a little bit worried.
And I brought that up, and this is a story that's not getting any attention, which is sad, because to me, this is a huge story. In the CHOP area there in Seattle, the autonomous zone, where the whole idea was we want to create a society without police, this week they hired the residents and businesses inside the CHOP zone, hired a private security firm to provide protection to residents and businesses and provide security inside the CHOP zone, which means they installed a police force. They put in a police force after just 3 weeks. So I did say that to Austin. To say, you know, I said, so the idea of no police is not something that I don't think any of us can get behind. And that's when he brought up the example of privatized police instead of the way that we do things now. So a lot of things there that Austin said that I definitely don't agree with, as far as some of the characterization of the way that police funding is used. And, you know, I'm not necessarily against all the equipment that they have. In fact, I think they need more equipment. But if you want to hear, a whirlwind, go back and check out that interview that we just did with Austin, and then go after him.
I'm a little bummed I missed it. It sounds like it was fun conversation.
It was something. So yeah, sorry that we're infringing on your time. Thank you, Jake, for sticking around for the podcast exclusive. We'll continue this discussion over there. Before we dive into anything else, what's new at Osage County Guns?
Oh, we're just we're running crazy. Business is obviously still booming. Everybody's out shopping and buying the items that they think that they need and feel comfortable for and with. And so business has been ramping up, and it's been pretty steady and pretty busy. And merchandise is getting slim.
Yeah. Yeah.
Hey, Michael, I'm sorry, Jake. I saw a question on Facebook from Michael Duke. He owns Missouri Gold Buyers. He had one of his stores looted and robbed. They didn't get anything because he had, this gigantic, safe that was installed, and it was put in by a crane. It was so big a few weeks back.
And if you're getting robbed, who you call? You call the police, because we need police. Austin.
if they'll answer their phone. Anyway, Jake, Michael Duke is asking, hey, gun enthusiasts, for home defense, AK-47 or AR-15, before you answer that, can you just differentiate between the two, AK-47 and AR-15?
Yeah, they're both a semi-automatic for commercial, for the standard civilian. They're both a semi-automatic rifle. They're built and operate off of different systems. And they shoot, for the most part, they shoot a different caliber, but they're both a semi-automatic rifle that takes a magazine-fed. AK-47s are fantastic. They're indestructible. They run like a champ. They run off a 7.62x39, which is the cartridge that they shoot, versus an AR-15 is a typical. It's a 5.56, 223, a little smaller bullet, right. Really fast. Both serve the exact same purpose. Both are used military aspects-wise. I think that's, for home protection, personal opinion, it's a little overgunned.
Yeah, that's what I thought. That's more of a long-range rifle, right?
Well, it's definitely, it could be used for various things. It can be a combat-styled rifle, but, if you live in a neighborhood, those bullets travel, and you are responsible for any bullet that goes out that gun. So,
That's a good point.
Unless you're going to call your neighbors and tell them to all get on the floor, you don't want to have any issues where an innocent bystander. So, while bigger...
So what would your best suggestion be?
I'm a very large fan of shotguns in a home. Mm-hmm. I'm a very large fan of an AR platform for sure, but you can do that in a 9mm, which then runs the same ammo and sometimes even the same magazine as your handgun if you run a Glock or a Colt or different things like that. So there's some other avenues where you can have a good protection firearm, handguns, shotguns, even an AR if you want, maybe a different caliber. Just understand and know that your surroundings and where you're at. If you're in an apartment, there's bullets travel.
Jake, what I have in my shotgun at home the shells that I have are essentially birdshot shells, because I'm at my 900 square foot home in Florissant. If somebody's breaking in the middle of the night and I've got to fire it, God forbid, you're not going to be more than 10 or 15 feet away from me. And I don't want a shell that's going to be going, like you said, through bedroom walls or through the walls of the home. So I figure I want something that will spread, because if I'm going to shoot, I don't want to miss. And I also don't want to be, putting holes through bedroom walls and maybe hitting other people in the house, or like you said, neighbors. So that's always been my philosophy in that. Is that kind of the thing that you're talking about?
Yeah. I mean, the nice thing about a shotgun is you don't have to be super proficient. They're easy to run, as far as they're simple to control, as far as being able to pull a trigger and the safeties and the mechanisms on the actual firearm, whether it's a pump action shotgun, whether it's a semi-auto, you can put the barrel, just aim the barrel in the middle of the hallway and or doorway, and you're pretty much going to cover that whole area.
I also always thought that just the sound of racking the shotgun would probably be enough, and I would never have to shoot it, because that's a universal sound that everybody knows. So if somebody's in my house,
chilling sound for sure.
Absolutely.
Isn't it amazing what we get out of movies? I mean, I'm picturing Arnold Schwarzenegger with, you know, both of those Winchester Defender shotguns, you know.
Yeah. So there's a whole lot more that I want to talk to Jake Fair about from Osage County Guns, and we will be able to continue this discussion in the podcast exclusive. So make sure, once again, you are downloading that podcast, both of our podcasts, every week on the radio.com app or anywhere else that you get podcasts. Before we wrap up the show, Jake, one more time, how can people find you out there at Osage County Guns and follow you, social media, websites, all that good stuff?
Well, if you're sick of being stuck in the home, get on out, take a nice drive. We're out here in Wright City, Missouri, just on I-70. Obviously, you can Google us, Osage County Guns, and pull up our website. We're on Facebook, Instagram. We're out there to be found, and we're happy to help you however we can.
Great stuff. All right, we're going to wrap up this week's show. Again, if you missed anything, download the radio.com app and download our podcast. Or if you happen to be listening on the radio.com app, you can take advantage of the nifty Radio Rewind feature. So make sure you are checking that out. That is going to do it for this week's show. For producer Chad Ellis and my co-host Bo Matthews, I'm Tony Colombo. Thank you so much for listening to another edition of Second Amendment Radio and the Great Outdoors.
See you, boys.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.